Morning, glad you're here. It's fun to hear the buzz in the room and people are like, good to see each other. I really enjoy getting to see the ladies. There's a huge crowd of people singing their guts out, and then people in the crowd and all the people even yesterday helping with the different games and the different cooking of the food and the calling the stuff on the boat and coming back. It's just fun to see the body working. Can we give the guys who do the music and the tech a big hand and say thank you? This morning I'm excited about having a chance to share with you a little bit of the idea of where we see ourselves going, the path ahead. There's a story that I heard not too long ago, and it was of a monk, a Roman Catholic monk, and he was on his way on a journey, and he got mixed up, and he ended up on the wrong path. And then darkness came, and so now he's really in trouble. He's not sure where he's going. But anyway, he's lost in thought, and he ends up coming to a military outpost. And he doesn't know where he is, and he's not even thinking. He's looking. He's just thinking, well, there's a guard outside the military post, and the guard sees him coming, and he asks him this question. And it startled the monk. He asked him this question: who are you, and where are you going? And so the monk was like, ooh. He was scared for a second, but then he wisely said, how much do I have to pay you to ask me those two questions every day? Who are you, and where are you going? So let me ask you, Discovery Bay International Community Church, who are you, and where are you going? It's really important for us to take a step back every now and then and say, okay, what is our purpose? What is the target? What is it that we're aiming for, aiming toward? Because if we don't know that, we're definitely not going to achieve it, right? And so that's what I hope this morning we can take a few minutes and think about. Okay, where are we going? What's the target? So a few weeks ago, the elders, we had a chance to get away and just have some time to pray, to discuss, and we did a lot of that. And this was one of the first questions that came up: what is our purpose? And so, man, we had some incredible discussion. And so I want to share with you some of the fruit of that discussion. And so as we're looking at what is our purpose, obviously we want to go back to Scripture and think, okay, what did Jesus say we should be about? And so that's really clear. When Jesus was finishing his earthly ministry, after he had been raised from the dead, right before he ascended up into heaven, Jesus met with his disciples one last time, and he gave them a charge. He gave them this command. He gave them a great commission. Yes, he gave them the great commission. And here's what he said to them right before he went up to heaven. In fact, let's all read this together. Go, therefore, and baptizing them teaching them, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so this is what Jesus said right before he left. And so I would think his last words would be important words for us to think about and remember as we consider, why are we here? What are we about as a church, as people? And so I want to start, let's just walk through this for a minute. This is what the elders we all did together. We just kind of walked through, okay, what are the different pieces of the Great Commission? And the very first word is a huge one, right? What is it?
Go.
Go. Go. It doesn't say try to get people to gather and make disciples of all nations. Try to pull people in and make disciples. No, it says go. Go. So we have to remember that. Go. And then what is the next thing? It says make disciples. And he didn't give a very clear, here's step one, step two, step three. He said make disciples. Because he knew that because we live in different places, we have different cultures, different backgrounds, different personalities, that we will have to consider that. So just make disciples. Figure it out. Make disciples. Man, so important for us. So what is a disciple? Someone who follows someone else. So Jesus is saying, look, help there be other people who follow me. Just the way you're following me, get more people to follow me. It's the best thing can ever happen to them. So follow me, help other people to follow me. That's the goal. make disciples. Go and make disciples, people who follow Jesus. And where should we do that? Of all nations. Go make disciples of all nations. The whole world is what he's looking at, not just our neighborhood. And so it makes us lift our eyes from our own little world and look beyond and think, okay, there's more outside. There are people who haven't heard the good news. And Jesus is calling us to make disciples of all nations. And then we have baptizing, which is pretty clear of how we're supposed to encourage them. Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity, so they need to learn about the Trinity. He says, teaching them the commands that I've given you, right? And so there's this teaching, this training, this information. Here are the steps you should take as you go on this journey of making disciples. And then he gives us that beautiful word at the end, I'm with you. Ah. That's what we needed right there. In fact, Jesus, it's funny, he says that, and then he goes up into heaven. Like, whoa, you said you're going to be with us. But what did he promise? He said, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send a comforter to you. In fact, Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the comforter won't come. Greater things you'll see because I go to the Father. And so the Holy Spirit coming to us is massive. So he says, I'll be with you in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what we see in the Great Commission. I'm with you. So go, make disciples, all nations, baptizing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching, commands. I'm with you. This is our command. This is our goal from Jesus. And that was about 2,000 years ago, right? When Jesus went up to heaven, he gave the Great Commission, AD 30. Well, about 20 years ago, DBICC began. Almost exactly 20 years, actually. So 20 years ago, this last August, I believe it's when the first services began. And when they first started, they said, hey, we're going to have a mission statement. And so we have a mission statement. DBICC has a mission statement, and I'm curious who can say that for me. Anybody brave enough? You remember? Ready? Go. What is it? Equip is somewhere in there. Body of believers. Great news. It's on your bulletin, actually. On the back side, it's there every single week. I know all of you take that home and you put it beside your bed and you wake up in the morning and you read that and you're so excited about, wow, that's beautiful. Here's the bulletin. Here's what the bulletin says. We are, and let's read this together. Here we go. We are. Let's just take a second and say thanks to God for the people who wrote that. So as the elders, we were looking at this. We had the Great Commission on the whiteboard, and we had this also on the side, and we were comparing and looking back and forth. And the more we looked at them, we said, this is spot on. These guys did a great job when they made this. And so there's not a desire. We're not rolling out a new mission statement this morning. Are you happy to hear that? Yes, okay. Sometimes people start to change things and make everything all crazy. No, we love the past. We're thankful for what God has given us as a heritage, as a church. We're a community church, but I want to look at what we have here now. Let's look at this. Let's dissect this a little bit. We're a community church, okay? It doesn't say we're a community club, right? So what is a club, by the way? What is a club? How would you define a club? People that get together, right? They have some shared interest. They enjoy each other. They may pay dues, right? That's kind of what the church does. No. We're a church. We're not a club. We're a church. And what makes the difference between a club and a church? God, right? Jesus. We're together under one thing, and that's the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus. We trust in him. We're saying, yes, we love Jesus. Oh, you do too. Oh, you do too. We're together. That's a congregation or a church. An ecclesia is the word. A church, a group, a gathering of people who claim the name of Jesus. So we're a community church. And so we want to make sure that we're a church, not just a club. I've been a part of some churches that act like clubs. And it's just like, ugh, right? They lose sight. And so we don't want to do that. We want to keep our eyes on who we're supposed to be. But then it says we're a community church, which is great. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But there's so much in here. And so you go through, we're a community church, so we have the relationship, the togetherness. And then these three great little E's, I call them, the established on God's word, the enabled through prayer, the empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's like, bam, bam, bam. Good stuff. Thank you, Randy Strode and company. Great job, founders of the church. But why? Why are we a church with these characteristics? The mission is at the end, right? To make disciples of all nations. So here we are again. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's what we're supposed to go and do, make disciples. And so I love the mission statement that we have as a church, and we want to hold on to and celebrate that. But even in our meeting as elders, we were looking at this and saying, okay, that's good, but it's just kind of hard to remember. Whoa. It's hard to remember, right? It's hard to keep up with, okay, how do we get all the different pieces, and are people going to remember? And so we began to say, is there a way to condense or to summarize or to have a few words that are like really easy to hold on to? And so we were praying, we were talking, we were discussing, and then as we were looking at different ideas, there's one group of words popped out. And so I want to show you the three words we've landed on that I think will help us think about and accomplish our mission as a church. So the DBICC strategy, these three words: connect, grow, and go. Connect, grow, and go. Let me show you this next one. I was afraid of that. Man. So on the bottom right, there's supposed to be a go, but whenever you change your formatting with different computers, it's gone. So I apologize. It's supposed to be there somewhere. In fact, I think I can see it. It's like right here. So, but here's basically how we paired it up, right? So the top, we're a community church. So the word community is massive. We're a church, we're together. And so this idea of connecting, being together, having connections with each other, but more importantly, we want to have connections with God, right? And then secondly, we have these three things: established on God's word, enabled through prayer, empowered by the Spirit. God's word, prayer, the Holy Spirit. These are things that all believers need to be growing in, having their foundation stronger and stronger underneath them in these things. So we say, hey, this is growing in these. And then finally, make disciples of all nations. This is what Jesus said: go and make disciples. So we think this is a good summary, a good way of capturing the ideas of the whole thing with three simple words that everybody can remember, I think. By the way, can you say connect, grow, go? Let me hear you. Much easier, right? Three words. Everybody can do that. Well, let's just look at each one of these briefly. And so I have some icons here, and this is not finalized, just kind of a placeholder to create an idea, again, that will help you. Connect. Connect. What are we trying to connect? Number one, we want to connect with God. Okay? And this has to be number one. This has to be number one for each of us. We connect with God. That's what we need, okay? We may think about the need for gathering in groups and families and having a good community around us, and those are important things, but the greatest need we have is to connect with God. That really is what we need. And it's not just us, it's others as well. So this is our mission, to connect with God, to be a part of a relationship with Him. So connect with God, but then connect with each other also. We need to learn how to be in community. You know, and this is kind of weird. You have the two fingers touching, right? I was looking at different graphics, and you had like some two little dots with a line in between. That's cool, right? Or a chain with the links kind of connected. I was like, that's kind of cool. But it's not personal. And connecting is personal, right? And you talk to each other, and you hear about their stuff, and they hear about your stuff, and all of a sudden, it's personal. And so we have to connect in real ways and be a true community, living life together, walking through life together. And so we connect with God, we connect with other people, and here's the fun part, actually. The fun part is when we get to do both at the same time. We're connecting with God, and we're connecting with other people just like this right here. Ah, this hour and a half on Sundays where we're together with people and we're together with God, yeah, ought to be our favorite hour and a half of the whole week. I hope it is. If it's not, we're going to keep working that direction so that it is your favorite hour and a half of the week. And so we connect, and it's very important for us. So there's the first one, connect. The second one, though, is grow. And I like this graphic. It's really simple, right? And whenever we say grow, I want to be clear about what we mean. So yesterday at the picnic, there was so much food, right? And then like last week, we had another party, and there was so much food. And then we had something, there's this theme of so much food all the time. And so we're not talking about growing like this, right? Not getting bigger, gaining kilograms or whatever. I'm still thinking pounds, but kilograms, right? We're talking about growing in our maturity. We're getting stronger. We're developing. We're growing deeper. And then I love the potted plant because there's this safe environment. That goes back to the community. But we're growing. We're getting stronger. Just to talk about this some more. Again, maturity is what we're talking about. Moving forward. There's a massive church in Chicago called Willow Creek Community Church. And I don't know, they've had some unusual things happening, some scandal type stuff in the last year, but I know for years and years they had a huge crowd. In fact, 26,000 is the average attendance that they would have on a Sunday, okay? Big church. Now some of you, anybody from South Korea? Okay. Now South Korea has big churches, right? Like 800,000. In South Korea, I can't imagine that, right? So, but at least in the States, this is a huge one. They call a mega church a church that has 2,000 or more, right? So this one's 26,000. But anyway, the people of Willow Creek Community Church, several years ago, they had all these people that are coming to church, and they just stopped and they said, let's ask a question. Is this actually making a difference? Yes, we see all these people, but are people, are they moving forward in their relationship with God? Are they connecting with God? And is that changing their life? Or are we just kind of having fun together and having a big party and we're all just kind of fans? So they asked that question, and it was very difficult for them because the more study they did, the more difficult the answers were. So they did this study called the Reveal Study in 2007, and they looked at their own church, and they began just to ask lots of questions. And the result was, we found out we're not making disciples. We're making a lot of fans, but not a lot of followers, right? And so they began to say, oh, just having people come to events doesn't necessarily do it. Oh, well, then they pulled in like 1,000 other churches to this study. And so it really began to grow. And they said, okay, how can we know where people are? And so this is the big question. We want to try to measure something that you can't measure. Are people growing in their walk with God? Are they getting closer to Him? And so, okay, how can we? Well, let's see if they come to, if maybe the attendance is, are they coming? How often? Maybe if they come more, that means they're closer. No, that wasn't it. Well, maybe if they're in small groups. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Maybe if they're serving. Surely the serving people would be the ones, and that wasn't it. Maybe the ones who are giving the most, the people who are just giving money, and that wasn't it. They looked at all these different, the people who are telling their friends about, no. So they're trying to figure out, how can we measure? How can we know if people are moving forward in their walk with God? And they really wrestled with this for a long time. And they finally came across the answer. It's actually pretty simple. You know what it was? Just ask them. Well, sometimes we get so, trying to figure out some way to figure it out. You know, just have a conversation with the person. And when you're asking them, where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? They're scared to lie, right? I can't lie because God knows. But usually people will tell, you know, 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, I don't know what the number is, people will tell you. And I've seen this myself. I've done this with people where I was trying to figure out where people were, and I said, hey, well, just tell me. And they told me. I was like, well, now we know. And we can go from there. And so that's what we want to do. We want to ask you, where are you? Remember, the goal is growing, right? So we ask you, where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Through the study, they came up with this continuum, they call it, this growth chart, so to speak. And here it is. Basically, you have four basic areas or sections where people might be. The first one on the far left for you is exploring Christ, okay? These are people who are still asking questions. I'm not sure about this Jesus thing, but I'll ask some questions, but I'm still not sure, right? The next section over is growing in Christ. These people are just getting started in their walk with the Lord, right? The next one over is close to Christ, and these people would say Christ is really important. I seek Him for big decisions. He's very important in my life. But then you have the fourth group over here that they would say, hey, Jesus is everything. And if I have to die for my faith and for what he wants to do. He's my everything, Christ-centered. So you have these four categories, and if you just put it out there for people, they'll tell you where they are. They'll tell you. Now, in the old days, so by the way, you have people in these four categories, right? And there's so much to the study, I won't go into it in too much depth, but you don't always find the people in the different categories that are as happy as you would think. In fact, one of the things they found, sometimes the people who are on the far right-hand side are the least happy in church. What? Because these people need something completely different, right? And the church is gearing things toward the people who are still exploring or the people who are new. So then the people who are over here, they don't have the things that they need for their growth. And so really fascinating, and there's, again, more to it we can talk about another time. But the idea is not just to understand the different groups, but to make sure we have something for them. And then not just that, but we don't want them necessarily to stay where they are. You see, if you're a company that's producing products, right? You want to be sure that you have a product for each sector of the market, okay? But you don't necessarily care if they change sectors, as long as you have a product in their sector so you can get some money from them if you're a business person, right? Any money people in the room? I want a product in that sector because I want money, okay? Now, we're not about the money at the church. In fact, what we're about is people moving this direction. So we're not okay if they stay where they are. We actually want to meet them where they are and help them move. We want to help them go forward to take the next step. What does that look like? Well, for the people who are in that very first one, salvation. The old church word, salvation. To move from exploring to growing, the step is called salvation. And then what's after that? Well, then we know there's this whole thing. Again, perfect church word, sanctification. Can you say that? Yeah, some of you have used that word before. It's this idea of growing and growing and moving forward. We're going to use some different words as we think about this because we know, hey, each group needs to move to the next category, and we want to make sure that we give them what they need. And so we know from the study and from our own discussions that these are the key steps to move forward. Belief. It's really about belief. At some point you say, you know what? I actually do believe that. I'm not just hearing it and thinking maybe it's true. I'm in. I have faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And so that's the step for the people moving in the first one. The second movement is about practice. You're in, but you got to learn. So you begin to use the skills and you read God's word and you pray and you begin to grow and you see his influence growing over your whole life. And then the last one is surrender. And finally, you just say, you know what, everything, I give it to you. And so we want to help people in each of these categories. All right, you still with me? Okay, so that's the idea, is to understand where people are and help them move, to help you see where you are and what steps need to be taken to move closer to Christ, a more and more of a disciple in every area of your life. Now, I'm really excited this morning to announce a new gift that we're giving you, something that we're providing for free. Anybody like free? Free's good, right? You don't get that much around here. We're providing for free for you. The church has partnered with a group called Right Now Media to give you something amazing. It's actually the Netflix, the Christian Netflix, right? It's called Right Now Media. And so our Bible study library is now digital and gigantic, right? 20,000 discipleship videos. And parents, I have great news for you. There's tons of children's stuff on here, okay? Did I mention this is free? I can't remember if that came out of my mouth yet. This is free. In fact, you should have an email in your inbox right now that we would have sent out to you so that you can begin to log in and access these resources, okay? It should say a gift from Discovery Bay International Community Church. Anybody see it? Yeah. It's there, see? If you don't have one, it's because we don't have your email yet. We're going to have a way for you to access it through our website online, okay? But we want you to have this. There's stuff on marriage and parenting. Let me just stop, and there's a video. We got a video ready to go? All right, I'll quit promoting it and let these guys do it. Here we go. Oh, I messed it up.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
Okay, so there you go. I hope you'll log in soon and begin to enjoy that again. We want to grow. We want to help you grow, and there's so much on there. I just think about, you know, these pilots who are leaving town, and they go to Bangkok, right? And they have 2 days. They have to stay there, and they're like, oh, Bangkok, it's terrible, right? What's going to happen in Bangkok? Okay, but if they go to Bangkok and they log in, they could, like, binge watch a series on marriage, right, ladies? And then they come home from Bangkok like the perfect husband, right? So ladies are like, yay, go to Bangkok, and you can watch some Right Now Media while you're there, buddy, right? No, I'm excited about the option, really, worldwide. We did this with a church where I was before because the soldiers would deploy and they were bored out of their mind, but they had internet, like, Right Now Media, good option. So it's a chance for us to grow. And then the third thing, go. You see, what we're trying actually to do is to help someone else. We go to help someone else connect, which is what we started with, connecting, right? So we go to help them. You remember this picture? Just a few months ago. How many were in the cave? Anybody remember? 12, 13 people down in there. They're trapped. And what did the world do when they learned about these 13 trapped people? The world was praying, they were sending food, they were sending experts, they were sending ideas. They were like, what can we do? Everybody, let's work together to save these 13 people. And it happened. It was so cool. Great story. I think about even today how the 70 people in California who have now passed away because of the fires. And what if a month ago we knew that it was going to happen? What would we do to prepare? We would do whatever it takes, right, to save these 70 people. Think about a couple of months ago in Indonesia. Now we know the number is over 1,000, 1,234, I believe, estimated, have passed away with the earthquake, tsunami, combo disaster that just slammed that place. And what if 3 months ago we had known? What would we have done? Whatever it took, figure it out. Use the best ideas, the greatest science, whatever resources we need. Let's pull it in, so we can help these people not die. Now, what we're talking about here is a physical death in these different situations that I've mentioned. But what we're up against as a church is spiritual death, right?
what we're thinking about. And the reason Jesus said go is because he's thinking about something worse than physical death. He's thinking about spiritual death, which is separation from God forever in a place called hell that we don't like to talk about. But that's what we're talking about here. And we know a ton of people. In fact, let's just talk for a second. Okay, Discovery Bay. How many people live in Discovery Bay? I'm hearing 20,000. Right? Roughly 20,000 people live in Discovery Bay. Let's just talk about our community. Not even Lantau Island, not even Hong Kong. Just Discovery Bay, 20,000 people. So let me ask you this question. Of the 20,000 people that live in Discovery Bay, how many would you estimate are Christians, are Christ followers, disciples? Anyone just take a wild guess? What percentage? I'm hearing 5. 3 to 5 is going down. let's be wild and crazy for a second, okay? Let's be wild and crazy and say 50% of the 20,000 are Christians, which I don't think is the case. How many does that mean are not? 10,000 people here that don't know Jesus. And maybe they've chosen not to. Maybe they're great Buddhists. Maybe they're great Muslims. And that's what they want. And everybody has their own choice. But the question is, do we care? Are we asking the same questions that the people were asking about these guys? What can we do? Can I go? What can I send? Are we being creative? Are we working together to try to figure out these 10,000 people who are going to eternity without God in hell? Are we trying to do something about that? So whenever God looks at the world, imagine, not just the 10,000 of DB, but think about Hong Kong and Asia and the whole globe. So what is God's heart saying? Go! Go! So God has a rescue plan for these people on earth. He has a plan. Do you know what it is? It's you and me going and making disciples. Of all nations, it's us. We are the plan. Like, God, you probably should have thought of something else. Because we're really good at coming up with reasons not to. In fact, here are some of the ones that are most common. You know what? Somebody else can do that. That's kind of scary for me. Maybe, you know what? I'll just give some money, and then those guys can go do that. Or, I'm not an evangelist. That's not my gifting, so those other people, you got 4 in the church, those guys can do it. No. I'm afraid, which I like the authenticity. I'm just scared, all right? That's a starting point. We can go from there, right? Or the last one here, I don't know how. Again, it's good. We can go from there. If we begin to take steps and educate and learn and practice and train and have mentors, we can begin. You're like, oh man, I didn't know it was going to be a message like this. They're going to beat us up. No, I'm going to call you to something great. Jesus said go. Not some of you go. Go. And so here's what's fun. This doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be scary. We just need to say, okay, who am I? Who has God made me to be? We pray about it, right? We pray about this. Lord, how do you want me to go? What does it look like for me to go and make disciples? Is it across the hall, the person in the flat next door, someone across the next cubicle? Or am I supposed to actually uproot and go somewhere? But just pray about it and have a plan. Here's how I'm going to do it. In my personality, in my strengths and weaknesses, in this stage of life, here's my way that I'm going to work at going. So maybe it's in cockpits, maybe it's in classrooms or during lunch breaks, on sports teams, with friendships that you build. Just begin to say, you know what? I have good news. Because that's what the gospel means. Good news. God loves you. He sent his son Jesus to pay the price for your sin. You can be set free. You can have life forever. And now, that's good news, right? I have good news. We figure out, okay, how can I share that? And you don't have to be a jerk about it, actually. You don't. You can be kind. In fact, I love 1 Peter 3:15. Always being prepared, okay? So when someone asks, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason, for the hope that is in you. We're ready to give an answer, but how do we do it? With gentleness and respect. We're not beating people over the head with our Bibles. Saying, turn or burn, right? No. We're saying, I have good news for you. I love you, I care about you, and I have good news for you. So this is who we're supposed to be. And we can't neglect this. Otherwise, we become a club. We're about going. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And so we have these three pieces: connect, grow, and go. Okay, cool. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate that. What do we do now? What's next? What are the next steps? We appreciate you sharing this, taking this time. But here's what we're thinking. As elders, as we were talking through, it's like, okay, this is good, but what are the next steps? And so two areas of focus where we want to begin. The first one is this one. We want to begin to move toward small groups. We think connecting, growing, and going can actually happen more and more in this environment. Okay? So we're not going to do the Willow Creek thing and try to have 50,000 people, because that would be a lot to fit in here anyway, right? We want to move and have people in small groups where you can connect and have conversations and so on. So you'll be seeing more and more of the small group emphasis in the days ahead. The other thing is leadership development. Okay? If you're going to have more small groups, you need to have more people who can lead those small groups, right? So we want to encourage and mentor and facilitate growth opportunities for leaders. Here's the exciting thing for me. So make disciples of all nations, he says. The great thing is the nations are here. The nations are here. I get on the MTR, or I'm walking around Central or Kowloon, and I'm just like, wow. The other day, not just over on that side, I was in the plaza over here, and I was just sitting there for a few minutes, and people were walking by. Oh, that's a different language. That's another different language. I don't know that one either. All these different people from all around the world are in our own neighborhood. So imagine if we can be light and love and the gospel, the good news to them, and then they move back. There you go. We're making disciples of all nations. So here's the idea. Some of you pilots or different business people, you know you're going to move in 2 years or 3 years or 6 years. You're going to move somewhere else. And so we want to build into you this making disciples mindset, so that as you go somewhere else, you move there, you're ready. You'll jump right in and you'll go again. We take very seriously the time that we have with you, and we don't want to waste a single minute of it. So we want to build into you the skills, the experience, the confidence, the excitement, the passion to make disciples, to go and make disciples. So this is just a little bit of the path ahead, the direction that we're going. I wanted to share with you and help you to say, hey, look, we're excited. We're going to go. We're going to connect, we're going to grow, and we're going to go. Now, there may be some of you here this morning, and you haven't connected with God for the first time. You haven't taken that step of belief. And so I want to invite you today, hey, today's your day. Today's your day. You've heard about it. You know the Spirit's been convicting you. You need to do this. I encourage you today. Don't put it off. Make today the day that you begin your new life following Jesus, a disciple. So I hope that you'll take his hand. You'll connect with him today. Can we pray together? Lord, I thank you that you have not been vague or confusing in your guidance to us, that your desire is for us to make disciples, to help other people know what we know, to enjoy what we enjoy, the life that you've given us. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us. The enemy does not want us to succeed. But your word says the gates of hell will not prevail. And so we count on that. We count on your Spirit giving us wisdom and protection and strength, conviction where that's needed, that our brothers and sisters around us can help, like iron sharpens iron, can help us to move forward and to be strong in the face of the enemy's attacks. So Lord, I pray for the people in this room, those who have not yet taken that step of belief, that today they would decide, you know what? I'm in. I'm in. I'm going to trust Jesus to forgive my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead, and I'm going to turn from the old life and begin a new one. I pray that that will happen today, that salvation will happen today. And Lord, for all of us, those of us that are Christians as well, Lord, that we would say, you know what? There's so many things that want to distract and take away my attention, but I'm going to focus on what matters, my purpose for being here is to make disciples. And so help us, Father, to grow on our own and to help other people connect and begin to enjoy all that you are. Your heart is for the nations, all the nations. I thank you that we are here in the middle of the nations. So help us to be a light. Help us to be your hands, your feet, your love to the people that you've put around us. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.